Amen. Well, good morning, Summit Church. We'll say welcome to you at all of our campuses, particularly those of you that are worshiping with us here at Briar Creek, at our Briar Creek South Campus. We are going to do something a little unusual this morning. We are at the end of our series on the study of the Holy Spirit called Rushing Wind, and there have been so many questions that have surfaced in the last 6 or 7 weeks that we thought it would be unusual, but it might be helpful if we actually took part of our service to be able to just engage with some of those. And so Spence Shelton, who is our small groups pastor and kind of our people's representative here at the Summit Church, has been collecting questions from small group leaders and some places on our website all week long. And he is going to come up here in a few minutes, and he is going to ask me those questions, and we are going to dialogue about them. Now, there are a few of them that he has shared with me, so I've had time to get my thoughts together on a few of them, but then there's a number of them that he would not show me at all because he said he wanted to be able to ask the questions as the Spirit led him. This might be a lot of fun, and I have no idea in part what is coming, but he is going to be coming up here in just a few minutes to do that. While we're doing that, there are those of you that you might have a question that pertains to the ministry of the Holy Spirit or some things about it, and we would love for you to submit that question. Every time we've done this, we've kind of integrated some live questions, and so I'm going to put a number up here on the screen for you. If you want to text your question into that number, then we will do our best to get to it. Probably can't get to all of them, but we'll weave those in there, and of course that'll be a total surprise to Spence and to me. So that is what we're going to do, and then at the end of our time together, today we are going to celebrate the Lord's table together because we couldn't think of any better way to end this study on the Holy Spirit, realizing that all of God's gifts that he give to us flow from the cross of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it was the cross of Jesus Christ that reconciled us to God. It was the cross of Jesus Christ that bought for us the fullness of the Spirit. If you want to grow in the fullness of the Spirit, you grow in your knowledge and your understanding of who God is and what he has done for you at the cross of Jesus Christ. And so that's how we are going to end this series and this weekend together. But before we start any of that, this is sort of a sad weekend every year at the Summit Church because this is the last official weekend that our students, our college students, are with us as they go home for the summer. That is a sad weekend for us because they make up nearly a third of the adults that are here on a weekend service. And so next week, it will be a little lonely. Next week, the average age in our congregation will go up by about 12 years. Our offering will not go down a dime. You know, that's the one redeeming thing. In fact, I think I've told some of you students before that one of my favorite memories of you was when in between two of our services, an usher came back to me in my little area back there, and he came back to me and he had an offering bucket, and in it, I kid you not, was a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit from a college student with a little note on it that said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you." There's good and bad that will happen with that. We know that many Summit of our students, while it's sad for us to see them go, many of them are going back into very ripe mission fields. I had a student come up to me in between the services last night who was nearly in tears, saying, "I need you to pray for me. I want you to lay your hands on me and pray for me." He said, "Because God got a hold of my life this year, and now I'm going back home, and there's not any Christians that I know, and I want to be there to tell them about what God has done for me." And so we are going to pray for them. The video that you saw a minute ago is along that line as well. In addition to that, we have right at about 300 of our college students who are involved this summer in one of our discipleship or leadership or ministry training things. We give, you know, it's called a Go Now initiative, and we have about 300 of them that will be serving on various projects, whether the summer here at the church, Orlando, Florida, we've got one going, and got some different places around the world. It's an exciting summer as 300 will be staying around and going through those programs. In addition to that, listen to this. Our senior class of college students this year, 100 of them, 100 have committed to 2.5 years in being a part of one of our international or national church plants. Isn't that fantastic? 100 of them. So there's a lot to rejoice for, and in honor of this being their last week, I chose a representative from the graduating senior class to do an interview. This graduating senior is going to be making some rather significant transitions and changes in his life in the coming year, and so I wanted you to be able to hear from him as the representative of the senior class and to be hear what God is doing in his life and where God is taking him. So would you welcome Tyler Zeller. Thank you, man. Yeah, sit down. You're making me look short. In fact, I think there's something wrong with my stool.
Yeah.
It was a little shorter than yours.
I was going to say, I don't think it helps me sitting down. You still look short.
So what is it like? I know people ask you this, and I know it gets annoying, but let me just ask. What's it like to go through life 7 feet tall?
It's actually great. Basketball-wise, it makes dunking so much easier.
Yeah, I bet.
But anywhere you go, you know, you're out, and if you're in a crowded area, you can find people really easily. You just kind of like look, like, oh, yeah, they're right over there. I've also been a rallying point a couple times. You know, people are ready to leave. They're like, oh, just go find Tyler. He's the head sticking out over there.
Do you remember the first time you came over to my house? My 6-year-old daughter opens the door, and she looks up, and she says to me, Daddy, how tall is that man? And I said, well, he's 7 feet. She just looked there with her mouth open, and she, light went on her eyes. She said, 2 more feet, and he would be as tall as Goliath. Remember that?
I do remember that. That was right after she told me she was scavenging for raspberries outside.
That is correct. Yeah. My daughter's awesome.
Yeah, she is.
Tyler, tell us, how long have you been a part of the Summit Church here?
I've been coming very consistently for the past 2 years. My first 2 years, I didn't come a lot. My freshman
year. Was I not preaching very well during those first 2 years?
No, it was questionable. no, my first year, I didn't have a car, so I really couldn't make it a lot. I made it a couple times. My sophomore year, I was kind of trying out different places, didn't really know where I wanted to go, and then I really found a home here my junior year.
Tell us how you came to faith in Christ.
I came to faith my sophomore year in high school. I was brought up in a family that took me to church every Sunday, and so I was there. I've been told the good news and all this, but I really think I kind of grasped it and understood it, understood the gift that we got through Jesus Christ my sophomore year in high school, and something that it just kind of hit me that it wasn't about what I do or what I will do. It's about what Christ had done for us and how that no matter what happens, it's he loves me for the things I do, and even if, I mean, I'm a sinner, I'm going to continue to sin, and I'm forgiven through him.
So on the eve of what looks like is a big career change for you, where you get your first full-time job, and it is in the NBA, you know, and a guy that has accomplished a lot of what, you know, I mean, I think everybody looking from the outside, you know, number one academic, All-American, with a guy with that much that is going for him and behind him, what does Jesus mean to you?
Jesus is everything to me. He's somebody who's gotten me through a lot of things. He's helped me along the way. When I came to college, I knew nobody. I'd met my roommates, my teammates once. Other than that, I knew nobody. He's given me a great group of friends, a great network of people that have held me accountable and allowed me to move forward in my faith. And so he's been incredible in that. Basketball-wise, my freshman year, when I got hurt, I was devastated. It was something that, I didn't want to be hurt for 12 weeks, but it was something I was able to gain 20 pounds. I was able to come back, and I think he made me the player I am today because of that. At the time, I would have never thought an injury could have been a positive, but God's got a purpose greater than we can ever imagine.
Let me ask a question that might be a little on the blunt side, hopefully not awkward. I think people get a little cynical sometimes when they hear professional athletes talk about Jesus, because Jesus is the guy that makes them score the touchdown. Jesus is the guy that gives them success. So let me just ask you again, I don't want to be too blunt, but let's just say that next year your career does not work out the way that you hope it does. Maybe there's an injury, maybe Maybe just for whatever reason, you don't get on the right team, things don't fall into place, and let's just say that everything you've hoped for from the NBA doesn't really come to pass. What is Jesus? How do you feel about Jesus then?
Jesus is still everything to me. Basketball is what I do. It's not who I am, and I think Christ is somebody that is in my life very strongly. He's everything to me, and so it's something that, I don't want to have a career-ending injury that would, it'd be devastated at the time, but God's got a plan for me. If I have that kind of an injury, my plan or my mission is not in basketball, it's in something else. So you just got to make sure that you continue to trust God and know that He's got a plan for you, and no matter what happens, I can glorify Him through basketball, I can glorify Him in something else, and maybe I end up in a cubicle and I'm supposed to mission to somebody else, but no matter.
It's going to need to be probably a longer.
It will be, right?
Most of us are familiar.
I actually had an internship in a cubicle, and anytime I want to talk to somebody, I just kind of pop my head up and look over.
Basketball is not who I am. Basketball is what I do. Christ is who I am. That's a pretty awesome statement.
Yeah.
That ought to be like a, that's awesome. How, really quickly, tell me, how is it that you glorify God on the courts? Or how do you glorify God in the position you're in with the gifts that God has given you?
He's given me a great platform. On the court, I like to try to play as hard as possible and be somebody that plays respectable and isn't considered dirty or anything like that. Off the court, I'm somebody that everything I do is watched and publicized. If I go out and get drunk, it's going to be something that's publicized. So. You just got to make sure that you watch, and I've actually never drank in college, so something I'm kind of proud of. But but it's something that no matter what I'm doing, I'm being watched. So you just got to make sure that you give the right image. But when you're walking with Christ, it's something that's easy to do. It's not something you have to force or try to do. It's something that just happens. So you just got to make sure that every day you try to live for Him, and if somebody asks, you can minister to them or try to bring them to Christ.
Well, just a minute, I want you to tell us how we can pray for you, but just real quick, what are your best and worst memories from your years here at UNC?
They're both basketball memories. Worst memory would probably be my sophomore year when I got hurt. I was out 10 games, and my team went 2-8 during the time, so watching them go through
that. Reason that happened is because you only came to church twice here that year.
I know. Probably should have came more. Yeah. We probably would have won more than, lost less than 17 games. That was bad. But watching my team go through that was very tough for me to do. My freshman year, winning the national championship was very great, very significant. But I really think my favorite moment was my junior year, being able to be a part of that team that wasn't supposed to accomplish as much as we did. And it was just a fun group to be a part of, and continued this year. But I think last year we were the underdogs, and it was kind of fun to be that role.
Have you read any good books recently?
I was reading your book right now. It's a great book.
Whoa, didn't see that one coming, If we could get a close-up here. if I gave you like a gospel headband, would you wear it in the NBA or maybe like an armband or something?
I'd do an armband. I think it might make my arms look a little bigger.
Nice. All right. Well, I'll talk to the publisher and see if we can work on a line of product from that.
All right, sounds good.
Tyler, how can we tell these guys, you're about to go into an area that most of them have never been into. When I graduated from college, I had several pro teams that were trying to get me to go into various things, and I turned them down to go into ministry, but I know that that a lot of people don't understand the pressures that guys like you and I are under when it comes to just being unbelievable athletes. And so if you could share with them, how can they be praying for you in the days to come? And just do that.
Going forward, hired an agent, but there's a lot of decisions still coming that I really never knew I'd have to make. So just make sure I make the right decisions. And they are difficult decisions I don't know a lot about until a couple years down the road. So just making the right decisions now. And then when I do get drafted, I'm going to go to a city, again, where I know nobody. So getting in with the right people, the right church, and just having the right people surrounding me is something that I hope to be able to do, and then go out in that city and be able to try to spread the good news and just minister to people around that city.
Speaking of what city you'll go to, do you promise here to the Summit Church that if you go to a city where we have a Summit Church plant, that you will go to that church plant and tithe?
Yeah. Yeah, I could do that.
All right, good.
I guess
make sure we get a YouTube clip of that right there.
I guess that could be a significant amount if it's 10%.
How can we keep up with you, Tyler, just if people here want to be able to follow and kind of hear what's going on?
There's lots of great articles written about me all the time, but I have a Twitter page, and it's something that I don't tweet a lot. I'm not like my teammates to try to overwhelm you with tweets, but I will tweet it randomly about what I'm doing and just kind of random thoughts that I have.
Yeah, that's good. Well, church, let me, on your behalf, let me pray for Tyler. Pray that God will open up doors of ministry in front of him and that he will glorify God at an arena that most of you will never have a chance to go into. And me. All right. Father, I want to give you thanks for my brother Tyler, for his salvation. God, for the way that you've worked in his life, the way you've used him there at UNC, the way that you are going to use him, we believe, in the NBA. God, I pray that you would continue to show him how much more valuable the salvation that you've given to him is than even basketball success. God, as your word says, I mean, what's it profit us if we gained the whole world and then lost our soul? God, show him the treasure, the richness of the treasure he possesses in Jesus. I pray that he would be able to, in a very dark part of our culture, he would be able to show that Christ is everything. Basketball is a job, it's fun, it's a hobby, but Christ is life. I pray that he would be able to show the glories of Jesus there. I pray that you would equip him and use him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, thanks,
thank you.
Tyler Zeller. Hey, whoa. One thing. If I were going to shoot a three-pointer right here, and you were going to guard me, how close do you feel like you would need to be to just?
I don't know how good your jump shot is, but
I mean, I'd
probably get a little
closer. It's
pretty
good. It's the last seconds. Maybe we're down by two. I mean, what would you say?
I'd probably get a little closer.
A little closer. Yeah. Is that something you've learned recently or?
Past few months.
Okay,
you know.
That's good. A, I got his permission to ask that. B, I know that some of you Duke fans are tweaked because we had, you know, UNC guy up here, but so I asked that last question for you. That was entirely just to even the score there. Well, as I mentioned, Spence Shelton, our small groups pastor, is going to be on his way up here as your representative, come armed with questions you have turned in. Again, we will remind you that you can text your questions in live via the number that will magically appear below me. At any second now, and you can do that. Spence, have you ever had the opportunity to be subbed in for Tyler Zeller?
How awesome is this? Best moment of my basketball career right there on stage Sunday morning. Yeah, guys, so as JD said, we've had a significant number of questions come in through our small groups over the past few weeks as we've been in this series. You know, in case you're newer to our church, what our small groups do is they kind of study along with our weekend messages, seeking on how they apply to everyday life. So we've gotten a significant number of questions as we've dealt with the Holy Spirit topic, and also through just the website and individuals sending them in as well. We actually asked everyone to send them in, just kind of had a waterfall of them over the past few days. So what we're going to do this morning is just kind of ask some of those and get some clarity on this, because it's kind of, I think, a lot of new language that we're incorporating into church life, so we just want to get some clarity on a few things. So we're going to ask JD some questions. I've given him a couple of them in advance. Most of the rest of them, I have left hidden, just so we can see if he will squirm at all. And then, of course, we want you to be sending those in. So we've already gotten a few in. Thank you for doing that. And the rest of you, go ahead, see that number, plug it into your phones if it doesn't sit up there the whole time, so you can be ready to send them in as we're talking and something comes up in your mind. Before we get started, and those are going to come to me, so I'm all linked up here. Let me make sure I'm ready and everything.
Do you have an iPad and an iPhone on the table here?
I really do.
How cool are you?
Man, not cool enough to wear a pastor blazer, but I'm cool enough to have something. So this is what I got, right? All right, so there's one ground rule that I figure on our behalf we would give him, and that's that I control the clock, okay? Some of us have noticed the tendency for you to preach the full counsel of God every weekend, which we're grateful for. But I think I've seen more and more, you talk about that biscuit that came through, I think more and more people are bringing them and other meals, MREs, whatever they need to survive the length of the sermon. So just remember, this is Q&A, not Q and sermon. So to help you out, I brought a friend It's Mr. Buzzer, and it works. So if you go too long, I'm going to cut you off.
Are there any words that I'm not allowed to say?
Yeah, that... they are, but you've said most of them over the course of the past year, so, you know, people, you know. All right, so with that said, we're going to get started, all right? Here's the first question. It comes in from Delvin Davis's small group. He's here at our Briar Creek campus. It was seconded by multiple small groups at every campus and a few individuals as well. It says, here's what he said. JD, our small group noticed you skipped over 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 last week. You know, that part where it says women be silent. You want to explain what he means there? What's the deal, man? How could you leave us hanging out there, right? So that's the first one.
They don't miss anything. Do they?
Good job, small group. All right, so I'm going to read you guys the text just so that we're all on the same page. Ready? So it says, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church.
Now, what's troubling about that?
Yeah. straightforward.
That's right. All right, so real quick, why did I skip? The sermon last week was 54 minutes long. I didn't feel like just casually, you know, diving in for 25 minutes into that was going to be helpful. And I did a whole sermon on it last year in the First Peter series. So anyway, I apologize. I knew that you were too astute to let me get by with that. So let me give you just a couple of ideas, a couple of thoughts that will help guide you through passages like that one. First of all, one of the rules in Bible interpretation is that you interpret hard verses in the Bible by the easy ones. That obviously is a very difficult verse. And so one of the things you know from the onset is you know that Paul, listen, is not saying that women should never speak in church. He can't be saying that because multiple other places in the Bible, it talks about women speaking in the church, prophesying, praying. Acts chapter 2 says the Spirit of God will come on the church and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Acts chapter 21 talks about a guy named Philip who had four daughters, all of whom prophesied in the church. Just three chapters before, 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Corinthians 11, Paul lays out some ground rules for when women pray and prophesy in the church. So clearly, Paul is not so schizophrenic as to write one thing in chapter 11 and then to turn around and lose his mind in chapter 14. So it can't mean that he's saying that when women come into church, you just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. Right? So, all right, well, then what does it mean? Well, the second rule of Bible interpretation is that you always look through the context of the passage. And if you go back a few verses, what you'll see is that Paul gives that instruction in the context.